that right now, thank you. And so Tuan is going to be chatting with us about equity and inclusion in the classroom today. And if you know Tuan, you know that his students really, you know, brag about the culture that he creates in his classroom. So I'm sure he'll chat with me more about that. Don't be afraid to, you know, put some questions in the chat for Tuan. We'll leave some time at the end for that. But with that, I'll go ahead and pass it over to Tuan. Thank you, Tuan.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Marissa. And thank you, Vanessa. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining the session. I'm going to be talking about equity and inclusion in the classroom, but then also talk about some of the things that we as professors learned at my institution, Triton College, learned how to be better at proficiency in that, and then also including our students and understanding our students as well, too. So without further ado, here we go. So at Triton College, we believe that equity is about everyone. I mean, it's not just the instructors in the classroom. It is not just our administrators. It is not just our enrollment facilitators. It is everyone at our institution. And equity is about ensuring that students understand that we see them as students, and then also promote the students' individual identity, also their learning goals, and also what they're motivated to do and why they started at the institution. So we as faculty members at Triton College talked about in our meetings, and always talk about in our meetings, about how we can accelerate our students, how we can increase the motivation with our students and in our classroom and build that success, but also deal with the academic integrity that we have within our classrooms and also with the institution. And again, for all of you, this may be something that as professors at your institution, you're challenging with as well too. It is not something that is done overnight. It is not something that will be done within a mini session. It is a continuous work, not only with your partners within your department, your colleagues in other departments, but your institution, your institutional leaders, your stockholders, everyone who has stake into the institution and making sure that students understand and that students belong at the institution and as students feel that they have a comfort level as well too. So as a math professor, we all deal with, we talked about equity and dealing with the following things, giving an orientation about the programs and the classes that our students are going to be dealing with, also giving an orientation of ourselves, giving students an understanding that we as instructors go through the same things they do, giving them a background about ourselves. So that's what I mean by orientation. It's all about making sure the students understand we as professors know them and they know us. We also use the student approach on the student-centered learning approach, which means that we put the students in that position of where they are learning material, but we know the material, but also understand that it is not just us as the instructors teaching the course, but they have a stake in it as well too. We also develop within our courses as well to have students understand their academic goals, the success of how to become a successful college student. And this is part of our program, which is called our iLaunch that you see in the background, that we have students understand that we are not just looking at them as just students in the classroom, but we're looking at them as students outside the classroom and their other disciplines and also within the community itself. We build all this self-positive and reinforcement within, and communication is our biggest thing. Even though that we're in this remote learning atmosphere, we still do the same things. We continuously talk to our students and communicate with our students by email or even by voicemail or text, but we give them that motivation that is needed. Equity is about understanding and looking at the student and understanding all the students' background, which is where inclusion comes in as well too. We also look at, as professionals, building this community in our classroom, but also building with our colleagues. And we are always exchanging different ideas. As an iLaunch manager, one of the things that I facilitated and started with our program is that we as professors have a monthly meeting and talk about some of the things that we're challenging with. and some of the things that we can better improve within the classroom to help our students. And I think it's all about that personal professional development to help students, but also help ourselves. At Triton College, equity and inclusion are separated into two different categories, but they're actually blend together. Equity is about looking at motivating the students, promoting the social and socioeconomic barriers that we're trying to remove from the students, because we have to understand our students, what they're coming in as. Students who are in our classrooms, when we design our courses, we forget that students come in with A, cultural background, B, their nationality, C, their sexuality as well too. And again, those individuals who are dealing with sexual identity, being gay and lesbian, or even being a heterosexual. We're also dealing with students who are parents, individual in the sense of being a mom or dad who's coming in with children or children's in this case. We're also looking at all these other cultural things that students come in with. I give you an example. Well, I had a student who is a Hispanic male and who was in a gang, and now he's coming at the college level to try to get away from that, but still dealing with that atmosphere outside of the institution and trying to struggle to balance that. And also being a parent as well too, a single dad. So it was a lot of things that within the classroom that we didn't really see, or when we modeled our classroom or designed our classes, that we don't see those things. And we have to consider those things when we're teaching our students. But it's not to take away from any and all the professionalism that we do within our classroom, the structure of it, but it's just to include those so students feel that they belong at the college level. And it's also promoting the academic and this behavior support. This is what I meant by, it is not just you as the faculty member and your colleagues within your department, but it's also the institution. So for our program, we actually have our counselor come in, our advisors come in, we have our academic supports come in. We show them a lot of support in the sense that we see you as a student, we understand you as a student, and we know that students have other social and economical barriers that maybe hinder them from being the best person that they can be. So we want to show them that we are there to support them. Inclusion at Triton is all about making sure that students have an equal opportunity. And it's understanding the student as his or her learner. We look at their different learning skills, their different abilities of how to absorb the material. We also understand their lives outside the classroom, because once they come to the classroom, their lives are not separate. It's part of them. So again, using the example of my student who was in a gang, it's part of his life. You know, it's part of his culture, it's part of his decor. But it's also to show him that some of the things that he would talk about or even explain, it's not appropriate. And that was the things he just had to learn and being a student. But I wanted him to feel included in the classroom and use that experience and part of some of the things that we have talked about, especially with math education. And you can incorporate it into a problem so that he can understand it as well too. And it's also looking at the importance of the student's name. I have a unique name, Twan, and I have a lot of students who think it's a Vietnamese name, which it is, and they think that they have this impression of me before they come to class, and not realizing that when they see me, that they see me as an African-American professor, but I actually have a lot more behind me. I'm Cuban as well, too. I'm half Cuban, I'm half French, which is Canadian French from my mom's side, but then my name is unique, but they don't see that. And they have this expectation of what I may be as an instructor based off of that. And I think as inclusion, we have to show them that looking at a person's name doesn't characterize who that person may be. It just made them unique. And we have to identify that within the cultural understanding. We also believe and talked about to our students what our students were expected equity and inclusion in the classroom to be with us. They talked about, for our students, they talked about giving an opportunity for all students to have a chance to work and to be heard. Have instructors understand their background and know their cultural backgrounds and understand that those obstacles are not just part of their barriers, but it's also to help them to become better students. We students want us to make sure that we have an understanding of making sure to greet them and meet with them, talking with them, give them their voices that sometimes they didn't have before, and also provide a lot of feedback. For our students, it was which is last on the list, you see, for our students, it was more about making sure we empower them and give them the motivation that they needed. Within our program, for all of you, especially in our classrooms, we actually do a lot of that. We do a lot of motivations that students needed based on what we've had students give us. We have on their computer screens, we'll have motivational sayings. I actually have a motivational presentation that we talk about as well too. In the classroom, which is in an open lab area, we have a lot of motivational individuals from different fields of mathematics, different ethnicities, different races, and then also gender. A lot of students who come into class thinking it's just white males who actually created mathematics and not realizing that there's others within the culture. And we celebrate that a lot. And I think that's where students need it. And based on our students, like I said, that's what we do as well too. Within equity and inclusion teaching practices, it's important for us as instructors to understand and focus on the social justice of our students. And the social justice in this case is looking at all the things that students come in with. It's dealing with their human development and how to become a better student. What is a college student? Because we have first generation students who may not even know that based on their parents. And it's also looking at the student and giving them that individual instruction if that's needed. And again, we do that a lot for our institution because we communicate what we want our students to do and we hear what our students want from us and we hear what they want as well too. We also facilitate this wonderful sense of belonging. And I think it is important for inclusion for all of you to think of that when you're dealing and talking with your students. Students who come into our classroom, like I said, they come in with all this other material or other this background, all these things that are part of their lives. And before we used to just brush it off and say, okay, yeah, but you're here now at the college level, you're supposed to think you're a college student, but they can't forget who they are. They can't neglect that they have responsibilities outside the classroom. And I think it is very important to include those things in our discussion, within our practices, within our lessons, and to show that students, not only like in a sociology class or in a psychology class or even a philosophy class, that those things exist, they exist in every discipline. And math is especially one of them. And like I said, like we're going back to my example, when students see my name on the list of instructors to choose from, and they choose my name and they have this expectation of this picture of me when they walk into the classroom, and then here I am, and now it's changed. And they think that I'm gonna be a different person, but I share them my backgrounds, my challenges that I went through. And I think that's important. Because I've also talked about maybe the academic things that I went through, and it was maybe minor, but share the academics in this case of the struggles that I went through. And I used the example when I had an instructor in my college days that she could never pronounce my name right. And it really offended me so much that I wanted to just drop out of class because that communication was always lacking because she could never say my name, correctly. She never really looked at me and saying that I could do these things and learning mathematics. She always thought that because of my skin color, that I was a person who was just trying to get by and not realizing that I do have this strength behind me and this passion that she never really paid attention to. And I use that as an example in my classroom to talk to my students and saying, yes, I understand what you're going through and I don't want that to happen. So therefore I change how I teach. I include them in my practices of showing them examples and talk about those examples and promoting everything in regards to the student, him or her, that's in my classroom. With our programs, we always communicate with our students. It was the number one thing that I instituted within the practices when we talk about our professional development. Talking to our students, communicating with our students, and promoting that interaction. And with Alex, it gives us an opportunity to do that even more. We can see things within the Alex platform that we probably never saw before. One, we never probably see students struggling, because in the classroom of 25 students, you give an exam and you think everyone did well. And when you get the results back, you're saying, okay, maybe four or five individuals didn't really do well. And then we just keep going. With Alex, we can actually focus and hone in on their skills that need some additional attention, that need some additional practice, or need that maybe that care that we never really, or they never had before. We can also design our classes with the ideal of helping the individual student and looking at the student and saying, here's the things or the topics or the skills that you already know. Let's build on the things that you don't know. And Alex does a wonderful job in doing that, not only with a knowledge check, but also in looking at the platform and seeing where students need that additional assistance. We also use a lot of instructional strategies to help our students. And again, promoting Alex, it does that. You can see where a student needs that additional practice and some additional attention. And for an example, maybe some students just need that email to remind them. You can look at a particular topic that they're working on and say, hey, this is what I saw you working on. And I noticed that you missed questions 1, 2, and 3 or a couple of times. Let's work together. Let's send me an email. Let's communicate, or let's talk to each other personally, or even Zoom or whatever learning platform that you're using. And with that, the overall of the inclusion, it includes the student's information, what you need to know. You can talk about that student based on the information that they're doing. And you also include that person, which is most importantly, that person's name, because it shows up as well too. I give you an overview before we went to remote learning. In the lab, students' names always, when we were in the lab, and you'll see a student's name or you know them by heart. And some of our instructors never ever really took the initiative to learn students. So now with the program, it shows up on their screen. So they are forced to actually say the student's name and include that student in the conversation. And that was like several, like on the top list of things that when we were looking at other platforms to use at our institution, we noticed that was one of the things that I loved, that the student's name is always around. We can know that, we can see it, and we can engage with the student and use the student's information with that. So Alex is what we're talking about. Alex removes those equity gaps that we learned at our institution that was important for our students. We use it to categorize our students based on their learning abilities and what they're learning. We don't have to worry about putting them in a traditional classroom and going through each of the chapters or the sections. We can actually talk to our students, one or two, or even three of them, based on what they're working on together and from the reports that we receive. We can design an individualized learning pathway for them, which Alex does wonderful with that as well too. We can give them lots of encouragement, and Alex does a wonderful job. And I think from our students' testimonies were saying that they love that when they see congratulations, or you did well done, or job well done, sorry. When they see that on the screen, and not only just from us as the instructor, but they see it from the program and seeing that they can actually see the learning and see how they're progressing. And we create these learning communities based on topics that they're working on. And yes, for our institution, the way we designed our classes is looking so that we didn't have a classroom or going through a chapter and boring our students. We went through just what they needed to talk about, but we also have that where they can talk to each other and share in the communication and share the learning that they're doing. And then, yes, it's all about these reports in Alex that is wonderful for all of you. because of the fact that it breaks down a lot of things that, like I said before, we really didn't see. An example that you see on your screen is that this is a typical class. We can see what students are, the last time they logged in. We can see their overall progression and their overall grade within the classroom. And students get to see exactly the learning that they're doing based on the model and the reports that they're looking at as well too. Now, how is this related to equity? Equity in this case is looking at the individual student and how they're learning, but in also feeding that information back to us as the instructor of what the student is progressing on. And what we as the instructor can maybe go back in and say, okay, John, for example, I see that you're struggling here. Let's sit down and talk to each other and see what we can do and work on achieving that goal. It's a lot of support in the sense that students need, but it's a lot of support for us as the instructor that we didn't see before. And like I said, as a traditional instructor in the classroom, giving an exam, grading the exam, you're not sure what the students will be doing. And we can't really see their progress because based on homework assignments, we're thinking they're doing okay. They could have had some outside help. We don't know that. Especially in a remote learning environment, it is really challenging to see those things. But we can give an estimate of what the student is doing by looking at their overall picture of how the student's progressing. And I like the idea that with Alex, it gives them a knowledge check to make sure that they're retaining their information. And again, the equity part of that, it gives a knowledge check based on the student, not as a class. And that's the best thing. The student doesn't have to worry about him or her challenging with another person and what they were learning. They're only focusing on what they were learning and what they were progressing on. And the knowledge check only goes towards that. So again, here's some examples from one of my classes that we use part of our equity training at Triton College. We talk about building the models and looking at the individual topics that the student's working on and telling students how well they're progressing, but then also looking at how the overall class is doing as well. And here's an example of a breakdown that Alex does wonderfully that again, like we as instructors will probably never had the time to do all this calculation, but it gives us a breakdown of some of the topics maybe students are struggling with, students are achieving well, and students who are ready to learn those things. We believe that many lectures is important. So we still have that interaction with our students. And what I mean by many lectures for our requirements is by 10 to 15 minutes based on the topic, but it's also looking at based on the students or the number of students that you have to deal with. An example would be, here's a topic that 8% of the class was ready to learn about those topics. And you'll notice, for example, it says two names out of the 26 people. So I may call on those two students to sit separately with me or to come in a separate chat room and talk with those two students and talk to them about the topic and say, okay, well, here's the overall topic. Maybe Alex says that you're ready to learn it, but maybe let's just look at it and how it applies to where you need to see it in the field that you're going into. So for example, I have a student who's going into their nursing program and was wondering how this is really helping with her to go into the nursing program. So we had an opportunity to sit down and talk about that. And again, this is a wonderful way of including the student in the conversation, but also including the student based on what the student is working on. And another report that I love as well too that came out is the four topics that you see in front of you, all of you, the failed topics, the decreased learning, unusual learning, and procrastination. I love the procrastination one because the fact that it gives me a lot more information in regards to what students are not really doing. But then I can really target it individually students or individual students and talk to them about why it's taking them long to work on something. And maybe it could be one student, for example, was because they were going through this COVID-19 that we're going through this pandemic, her sister caught it. So she was distracted because of those things. So what Alex is saying, there was a procrastination of learning, right? Without knowing the student's personal life, that's a factor. It's an important factor. And I had to consider that when I was talking to my student in regards to what was going on. And I didn't know that. And we sat down, we talked about it over the phone for all of you. We talked about it and I said, well, let me help you get back on track because I understand this is a heavy thing that you're going through. You're taking care of your nieces and your nephews because of your sister. It's a lot that she's dealing with. Now, before, and like some of my colleagues will just brush it off and say, okay, Joe, that's your own life. That's your life. It has nothing to do with you doing your assignments. But it does, because it's important to her and it should be important to me, because as an instructor, I want to see my student achieve where they need to go to and what they need to be at the next level or where they want to go. But I have to remember that their lives outside the institution are important as well. And working with her, now I can say she is on track for all of you, because this happened around October. So she is on track. And I think for me, it's a personal gratification because I'm working with my student. I'm getting to know my student a little bit more. I'm seeing her achieve where she needs to be at. And if I have to ever have to write a letter of recommendation for her, I have a lot of material that I can use. But I think she appreciated it as me as an instructor, because I see her as a student. I see her as a parent. I see her as a sister working with her sister. I see her as a person who these challenges did not push her back. It's just something that made her stronger. And I think before, some of my colleagues would, like I said, they would brush it off and maybe drop her if she wasn't attending class and not knowing that these important factors outside the person's lives really do help. And inclusion for all of you is giving that sense of understanding that we never really seen before. And I think with the reports in Alex, it does give you that, so that you better have a better conversation with your students and then also to get a lot more detail of what's going on with them. With remote learning, I think it's important for us to understand that students may do things outside the classroom that we don't really see. Cheating. I know it's one of the things that we really don't like to talk about, but we know it's there. We have to emphasize for our students the critical thinking. And if we set down these boundaries of what we want them to do in the classroom, I think it will prevent some of the cheating that goes on, even if it's in the remote learning or even in the classroom. Create a culture of integrity. Respect who your students are. Respect that they are being trustworthy and respect that they're being honest with you. And also give them that respect of saying that I understand things are going on with you, but communicating with them, I think is important. Look at your reports. Give them a lot of feedback on the things that they're doing. If you see, like in Alex, it says this unusual learning, then talk with your students. That report is actually a wonderful tool to see exactly if they are doing what we call cheating. They could be going through a lot of the topics very quickly and using friends or family to help them and communicating with them and saying, hey, I understand this is what you're doing. It looks like you completed this topic or topics in less than 4 hours. That's unusual. So maybe open that communication with them and give them the feedback and saying, well, this is an unusual and hard topic for a person to complete within 5 minutes. Have them use their camera if they have to. For our classes, we do require our students to use their camera, especially if they're doing any type of exams or quizzes in the classroom. And but I also have to be sympathetic for those students who may not have webcams. So I instill a lot of the trust in the communication with them. I instill a lot of just talking with them and being honest and telling me what's going on. But I also think it's better helpful for our students if we just help them to believe in themselves. Before, students never really believed in themselves. They figured they just have to do something to impress us. That's not what we want them to do. We want them to learn the material because it's going to better help them as a student, not help us as the instructor. I think putting these things in play will help students not to cheat as much. And I've noticed it for my classes, and I can only speak from my classes, it does work. I do see them not doing the things like using their phone, especially when they're doing a remote test and using their camera. I don't really see them doing that. And I do see a lot of things that, especially in their working environment, I don't see any posters on the wall with any, you know, additional notes or anything like that. But I think they're being really honest with themselves because of the fact that they don't want to maybe not disappoint me, but they don't want to disappoint themselves. And Alex, here are some of the things that you could do as an instructor to maybe prevent cheating on your side. As an instructor, we can set prerequisite for the assignments, which in this case, you see on the arrows for all of you that some of the things you can do. You can also assign an exam with a password, especially for that student. And what I mean by that, you don't have to assign it for the entire class. You can assign it directly for that student individually. In fact, for my classes, I tell students that the password is not assigned to, is assigned to them, excuse me, once they complete an assignment. And then I went through and do my verification. I said, no one ever gets the same password. And it's true, because I'm always going in and changing the password for students. Then also, by signing, you can also use Alex's lockdown browser. We do. We also use the Respondent, which is using the camera with that. And we, at Triton College for our classes, students take what is called the practice test so that they can understand that's what they're going to be doing. And it gives them that sense in the beginning of the semester that, hey, my instructor is going to be watching me take my exam. I don't get a password until everything is completed. And assignments will be have prerequisites. All these things are initially discussed in the beginning during our orientation so that students understand that we understand that these things do happen, but we also going to be monitoring you as well too. But I think like setting up that culture in your classroom and saying you being honest with them, I think it'll be the same thing. They'll try to be, they'll be honest with you. For my institution, like I said, these are some of the things that we practice with for integrity, especially with the cheating in our remote learning. We also look at building the sense of honesty with our students. We also communicate with them a lot. We hear them, we see them, and we respect them. And I think these are the three things that we always end our meetings, our professional meeting with my colleagues, and that we talk about for... Sorry, that we talk about in our meetings, and that we, it's important for our students to understand those three things. Respect, we see them, we believe in them. Well, we add more to it every day. Professional development is one of the things that we're going next week and talk about adding more to our beliefs. I wanna open up to any questions. This is my contact information. If you have any questions additional to our discussion today. But yes, I'm opening up to any questions that you may have for me in regards to equity and inclusion and practices at your institution or my institution.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tuan. If anyone has any questions, feel free to go ahead and drop those in the chat right now or the Q&A. While we still have Tuan on the line, we'd love to get those answered for you.
And Luke, you're right. I see that you said a great point about the value of the name. It is true. We have a lot of students. We are a Hispanic serving institution. And even though I am Hispanic, I'm half Hispanic and half French. I think most of my students would say I'm just a third, but I agree with them and just say, okay, I'm a third Hispanic, a third French, and I'm a third American. So it is important to value names. And on our orientation day, especially with my classes, I have my students go around and I'll ask them their name. I ask them to pronounce it. I'll say it back to them. And make some type of antidote to make it easier for me to remember their names. Because right now I have a student, for example, Aaliyah, and it was spelled differently. And I wasn't sure how to pronounce it when she came to class, but I'm glad she did tell me it is pronounced Aaliyah. But it took me a while and I stopped saying names because I was like, oh, maybe I say the name incorrectly. And for her, it's important for her to hear her name, especially if we're in a conversation, because she's never had that before. She had a story that teachers would never say her name because they never knew how to say it. And she just felt that she was never included in the classroom. In fact, when we had our, what I call is a discussion quiz. We usually have three questions for a discussion quiz, and I'll use a student's name in one of the discussion quizzes and see if how many people remember that. It's just so that they be included into the learning for my classes, but also I just want them to feel part of the class, a part of the culture. So I'm always using their names instead of traditional names like John or Sarah or Eric, traditional names like that. And in fact, another interesting fact, one of my brothers, his name is Arik, and people could never say his name correctly either. So I gave them that example. But I also told students the story of how I got my name. So. You have an example of celebrating white males, I think. Well, for celebrating non-white males in our in my institution, we do the same thing. We talk about and using examples of them in the classroom as well too. And like I said, because we're serving Hispanic institutions, so we're always about including any and all nationalities. And even if they're a non or white male, we still include everyone. We feel that everyone has, everyone belongs at our institution. Everyone has a right to an education and everyone deserves our respect. So we do believe in that. And I think it's important to celebrate any and every student. For my class, we have what is called Friday Celebration Days. Three students are always mentioned in my emails when they're sent out. And today is a Friday Celebration Day. So. Yes, you're right, Tim, because we do have the same population. And some of our students actually come to your institution. So we try to prepare them for the bigger environment that they're gonna be in. In one of my classes, which is my math literacy course, we were talking about that. How do you come from a small institution like Triton to fit into a large university and still be part of the culture, but not pushed away from the culture? And that's what we're facing and talking about, because I do have a student who is thinking about going to NIU, which is Northern Illinois University for all of you. And it is a bigger university and we are a really small institution. So we try to remind them that, yeah, you're gonna be at a bigger institution and your instructors, I say my colleagues who teach at those institutions may not have enough time to actually know 75 or even 100 students, but you will still be part of the culture. You'll still be a belong individual. You'll still be a recognized individual if and only if you believe that you belong there. I mean, the institution, you're going to be surrounded by a lot of people who may not feel that way, but you have to be strong. And we try to motivate them that. We give them the sense of the respect that they're going to need when they get there. And I said, if you have to, I said, I've been to a large institution as well too. And in fact, I tell them the story that when one of my classes, I was numbered because our instructors never learned our names. And you're like, hey, you number 64 in the back. And I was like, I'm Twan, by the way. And then I'll ask my question. So I try to give them that sense of humor, but also say that, yeah, sometimes you may have to introduce yourself to your instructor again, because he or she may not know your name because of the fact of how many students in the classroom. So you're right. We try to give them that. And my gang, the student who was a gang member since he was brought up, He is doing very well. He went to UIC, which is University of Illinois in Chicago, which is nicknamed UIC. He graduated with his bachelor's degree last year. He sent me an email and he's no longer in the game, but it was a long road. In fact, his educational journey took 8 years from Triton up to UIC, but we celebrated him. I used him a lot. I asked him to come back when we're open on campus for him to come back and share his story and his adventure with the students there, because the fact that he is a Hispanic male, he was in a gang, he is a parent, he was also taking care of his parents. And I think listening to his story and saying that you are an achievement, but also listening to his story to say that, hey, that was me too, or that could have been me. And yeah, I think it's a great thing to do that. And we always invite some of our students to come back. In fact, we have one of our students, Adrian, if you haven't heard the story for that one, who is now attending UIC, very proud of him. And he was my student as well too. I'm very proud of him, but he's overcome a lot, especially with education, family, and even his personal demons that he will always say, his personal demons that he had to struggle with. He never believed that he was a great student, but it was until he came to Triton that we said, no, you are a good student. No one ever told him that. So I think that was what he really needed so that he can understand that he could achieve his goal. And when his father passed away, he really, really needed all of that. And I think that's what we provided for him. So we wish him the best at UIC. We wish all our students the best. And we just tell them that what we're doing here at our institution is because we see that based on what you told us, what we need to do to help you belong. And I think it's important for us to use that in the classroom. It's not to take away from what you're doing. It's just to add it. And like I said, for a lot of students, especially when, if you look at, you know, you're like, not sure how to pronounce his name, you know, or you have a student, like right now, I have a student who's transgender and recognizes like the pronouns they, I have to remember that and I respect that. And I use that in conversation and the student feels very belong in the classroom and doesn't feel alienated because of those things.
Definitely. And I did.
Another question.
I did put the link in the chat too, if you want to check that out. That's just such a phenomenal story that really, captures, you know, all of your points, Tuan, and how impactful these conversations really are.
Any others? Well, if I may, ladies, what I normally do for closing of my classes, and for all of you, this is what I normally do as a closing of the remote learning class. I want to thank all of you for coming. You beautiful scholars and souls and gentle spirits, have a wonderful weekend. And you are the light of Triton. You are the shine and you are the stars. And hopefully next week I'll get to see it again.
Love it.
Thank you, Tuan. We hope to see you guys all in the student panel that's coming up next. So Marissa, would you wanna drop the link to the student panel if you have a chance, please? That's an exciting panel that we have coming up next in 15 minutes, top of the hour at 3 Central. And if anyone has any lasting questions, feel free to pop them in the chat, but thanks for attending.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tuan.